Ok. In all of these talks, I'm doing something new. And because I'm doing something new, it's going to be very much like a beginner. And it's going to be somewhat exploratory. So if you're looking for something to be told to you that this is the way things are, and this means this, it's not going to be that kind of a talk. The subject of healing has been on my consciousness for quite a few years, but I've rarely spoken about it. And with the process of maturing, I don't agree with the aging part, but the process of maturing, you're more willing to take on certain things that you never did before. And that's what I'm doing. I'm pushing myself into something, whether I'm ready or not. Now, for a few centuries now, the Rosicrucian Order has concerned itself with healing. And it does that at the second commandment of the Christ, to heal the sick. Now, even in the physical world, which is where we need healing the most, and which is where we are most close to it, this is a huge subject. Because to understand what takes place in our bodies, which are perfect miracles, one has to know about biology and anatomy and physiology and organic chemistry and pathology and a whole bunch of other subjects if you really want to know what's going on. It's a staggering kind of a study. This is not going to be something in 10 short talks, the 5 astrological talks in the morning and the 5 philosophical talks in the evening, they're not going to be able to get to the kind of depth to understand things that are that big. So these are just the first few steps that you have to take, sort of like a baby, and the steps will probably be shaky and faltering, and so that's what we're doing. Now, in the early stages, when you're doing something new, there's a greater likelihood for errors. And if you encounter any errors in what I'm presenting, please inform me of them. Tell me where I'm going wrong and what you know that's different. It's not a fault to make an innocent mistake, but to continue in making that mistake or in that kind of ignorance is a major fault. Now, in the previous summer schools, this is about the 8th one I think that we've had, I've offered 2 parallel series of talks. An early series on astrology paralleling a philosophical series in the evening. Like the first year, the evening talks were about building the soul body so that you can leave the physical and enter into the inner worlds. And the astrological talks were about the astrology of the vital body. This year, things are going to be a little bit different. In the past, we've looked at many, many horoscopes as examples of what we were trying to demonstrate. And this year, there probably are going to be no horoscopes at all. I may put 1 or 2 in for a spot example, but probably no horoscopes. And instead of looking at horoscopes, we're going to look at holes. We're going to look at the whole zodiac. Not each sign relative to every other sign, but the whole zodiac, and for the whole physical body. The objective in all of this is to point us toward healing, to learn what we need to know in order to be proficient healers. All of us do a lot of praying to generate healing energy, but to actually deliver that energy, one must have both a holy life, a pure life, so that you can handle that panacea, which is a very rare thing, and you have to have the knowledge of when and how to use it. And these are the beginnings of looking at that. So we're going to look at body functions and try to understand how the body functions and why it functions that way and what happens when it isn't functioning right, what causes it that way. All Rosicrucian students are aspirants to healing. We're trying to become trained healers, not that things happen to us by accident or out of our control. And this brings us now to the topic that we're going to be talking about all week in a rather adventurous, which you can translate as meaning foolhardy way. And the subject is astrological homunculi, which is the plural of homunculus. And a homunculus literally means little man or little person. Now, the term homunculus has meant different things to different people at different times. Probably the most famous person with homunculi was the great alchemist Paracelsus, Theophrastus Bombastus von Hohenheim. No, Philippius Areolus Theophrastus Bombastus von Hohenheim, who was shortly known as Paracelsus. He is said to have had a little man in a jar that he kept on his desk. This is where all of those, you know, all of those pictures come, where people say they have an organ or something in a jar on their desk. And he is said to have had a little man in a jar. Some of the alchemists were said to have produced homunculi who would prophesy, because they were pure and they were elemental and they were capable of bringing things through the ethers in a way that humans have a difficult time with, because of the conglomerate of our being creatures of thinking and desire and etheric things. That combination makes it hard to bring something through with purity. In fact, Paracelsus even gives a formula for creating a homunculus. And it's quite something. It had a lot to do with when you were developing or building the homunculus, you had to age and ripen it, and you did that in a pile of horse manure. And it had to be horse manure, and it couldn't be cow manure. And things like that. Now, in the Rosicrucian Cosmo Conception, we're told that at the last initiation, which simulates the end of our solar creative impulse, that we would take the mineral kingdom through the plant-like stage, through the animal-like stage, to a human-like stage so that it could think for itself. And this is one of the goals that we, each human being has, is developing the ability to do this, to become creators in the fullest sense of the word. That's all about creative thinking. It is associated with what the Rosicrucian philosophy calls the mystery of the mind. That is the mind that knows the mind so well that it can create a new mind. That's something quite fantastic for someone who can't keep his concentration on something for more than 10 seconds at a time. It's, as you can see, this is about creative thinking, and it's not about horse manure. It's even likely that what Paracelsus was talking about was also symbolic, though probably he did do some experimentation with creating a physical homunculus. Now, the concept of a homunculus is more simple. The concept of a homunculus is creating a germ that is capable of unfolding into a new human being. In that regard, it is very much like a seed. Under the right conditions, you give a seed heat and water, and it can draw from the surrounding ethers, and it unfolds into a living plant. Now, when you have a seed like a plant seed, it contains the genetic history of the species. It also contains the genetic history of its forebearers. So the principle of a seed is very important in all of reality. It's very important in the Rosicrucian philosophy. In the Rosicrucian philosophy, we are taught that for each of our vehicles, our physical vehicle for the expression or the experience of impact, the vital body for the experience of energy and transference, the desire body, which is the vehicle of emotion and motivation, and the mind. Each of these vehicles has a seed principle. Unfortunately, it's called a seed atom, and we sometimes confuse it with the kinds of atoms like sodium atoms and things like that. And we don't take the word atom in its original meaning, which means a focus or a little speck. There are a lot of things that are in the Rosicrucian philosophy that are like that. The words meant something different when the philosophy was written down than they do now. One for me, which I've never figured out yet, is the use of the word billion. We use the word billion to mean 1,000,000,000. But when the Rosicrucian Cosmic Conception was written, the word billion meant 1,000,000,000. So it's not clear what the Cosmic Conception is teaching there. But at least each of our vehicles has a seed focus of all of the experience that has happened to it, the essence of that experience. Like for our physical body, going all the way back to when we were mineral-like, in an untold period of time, every impact or every form that we have ever taken, the essence of that is built into our physical body in the seed atom. And then we can draw on that from the seed atom according to our limitations and according to our creativity, and we produce new physical bodies accordingly. Now, the Rosicrucian philosophy also teaches that at the same time, in that Vulcan period, or in that last initiation, what happens is that the essence of all of the seed atoms is extracted, and it all becomes one, what you might call super seed atom, where all of the seed atoms are superimposed on one center. And the essence of all that experience is available to us as soul power, which enables us to do the creative thinking that produces a homunculus in that sense of the word. So we will be able to create human-like beings. Now, it's obvious that the great initiations are indications of the future of humanity in those future stages by people who work extra hard and advance themselves ahead of the timing of things. Now, as awesome as that meaning of homunculus is, that is not the meaning of homunculus that we're going to be using in these talks. We're going to be using a different kind of meaning of homunculus, and our meaning for that word is something like a homunculus is an astrological microcosm. It is a little tiny universe. And this definition of a homunculus as a microcosm, as an astrological microcosm, is also based on spiritual philosophy. Most notably, it's based on what is called the principle of analogy. And the principle of analogy is stated in the Hermetic axiom that is attributed to Hermes Trismegistus: as above, so below, what has gone before in heaven will follow after on earth. Know this and rejoice. Analogy is the means whereby the universal spirit maintains unity through differentiation on different planes of manifestation. You can tell when you are spiritually well focused when you can make analogies that are apt, because then your consciousness is emulating the consciousness of God, and the analogy is you're carrying something through from deep into the spiritual worlds into this physical world. The whole cosmos is created on the principle of analogy. There are just a few simple themes, and those simple themes are played off against each other on various levels and in various ways so that we eventually get to the complexity of the world as it is now. In the cosmology of the Rosicrucian philosophy, we say there are cycles within cycles, and the cycles within are miniatures of the greater cycles, which are yet miniatures of greater cycles yet. So there is, you know, like this is what great composers of music do. They start out with very simple themes, and then they invert them, or they play them off at a fifth or something like that, and then they become very elaborate and very beautiful symphonies. But even those are simple compared to the cosmos. The cosmos in the evolution with the cycles within cycles is amazingly complex. In fact, that's where the word amazing comes from. Amazing means to be put in a maze. And the maze of the evolutionary structure of the cosmos is something for us to figure out. So we have a problem. This is a problem for us to work out as our journey in the creative work. We're along the path, and that path is spiral, but there are spirals within spirals, and if we want to move ahead faster, we have to leap off of the smaller spirals into the larger ones. And we have to be able to understand that. We have two tools for understanding. One tool is intuition, and the other tool is the mind. And each of these tools has its own problems. Intuition is always true, because intuition is a direct spiritual experience. However, our assumptions about what the intuitions mean isn't always true. In fact, we don't always know that we are intuiting. Because the lower nature, that second self inside of us, is very good at mimicking what the intuition feels like. And it will do that in order to maintain control. So unless we are extremely pure at heart, and unless we do a lot of inner work so that we know ourselves very clearly, sometimes it's very hard for us to be able to read what an intuition is and what is a false seeming intuition and how to interpret either or both of them. Our minds are not very well developed. And in our minds, we also have assumptions. We think things are true that may not be true. So these are the things that the tools we have to work with are very primitive tools. Our mind and our ability to be in touch with our intuition are primitive, and the only way that we can develop them is by using them. All spiritual things get better the more we use them. The more we think, the keener our mind becomes. And then there's the matter of scope. One doesn't know what kind of a spiral one is on, whether you're on a little spiral or whether you're on a big spiral. And sometimes after so many little spirals, the whole big spiral goes into another dimension. And unless you understand and know this, unless you know the scope of things that you're working with, you could be taken by surprise. And so if we're wanting to work with healing, we have to work with scope, and we have to be able to understand the homunculi. Now, the way we're going to be using the word homunculus is just a little bit different. Let's begin to study astrological homunculi. The simplest astrological homunculus we're taught in the very first page of astrology. We're taught that the head is ruled by Aries, that the neck is ruled by Taurus, that the lungs are ruled by Gemini, and the Cancer is ruled by the stomach is ruled by Cancer, and so on through the zodiac. So the human physical body is a homunculus itself. It's a homunculus of the grand human that is stretched out around the entire zodiac. So this is a very, very beautiful concept. And there's always going to be something analogous. When you know one thing, that one thing can be known on various levels, and you can leap and come to greater understandings. Now, because of spirals within spirals, or because of the principle of analogy, the zodiac is found in other ways in the physical body. It is found in systems. Through the planets, it is found in organs, it is found in tissue, and is probably even found in cells. I've read books by authors who claim to have been initiates that claim that there are various cells, and when certain, that, you know, that like throughout the brain, for example, there are Venus cells and Mars cells, and that when there is an activation of Venus cells, they are active. I don't know that it's true, but this is an example. Now, because the unity of spirit is found in analogy, when something is activated astrologically, it could be active in any or all places simultaneously. For example, something happening in Aries could mean just the head itself, though it could be the Aries part of some other homunculus. Or if something is happening with the ruler of Aries, Mars. Mars rules the muscles, and so it could be something muscular anywhere in the body, perhaps in the abdomen or something like that. So you can see that what we're looking at, in order to get a diagnosis, it's a difficult thing. Understanding astrological diagnosis is the most difficult thing that I've ever studied in studying astrology and spiritual philosophy. It's very hard to get a comprehensive understanding of something. I've been at it. I've read through physiology books for years now, and I still feel very much like a beginner. If we wish to be knowledgeable healers, we should do that. In fact, Max Heindel urged every one of us to study physiology on a regular basis. I do it on an irregular basis. Sometimes I'll read it every day for a half a year, and then something will come up and I won't get to it. I do a lot of it, and I have traveled around United States and somewhat in South America, and I've talked to a lot of probationers, and I have yet to find a single probationer who took the time to study physiology toward healing. And this makes me wonder, like, wow, if we want to become healers and if we want to grow in this work, it isn't such a hard thing to go out and get a physiology book and start studying. So this is kind of a sad situation, because I think physiology is one of the most wonderful things in the world to study. Every time you turn the page in physiology, you encounter a new miracle. It's like that. All right, so even though I'm a beginner, I'm willing to expose my ignorance by exploring astrology and physiology together. And in these talks, we're going to explore a little bit, and we are even going to speculate, and I'm even going to draw you into the speculation. I'm one of these people that believes that speculation is a good way to give the intuition something to play on. Now, the way that I got interested in astrological homunculi and their importance seems to be a good way to introduce it to you, because it's very funny. A few years ago, I was confronted with an astro diagnosis question. Now, previous to this question, I had done some work on astro diagnosis, but it was all superficial. And one of the things that happens when we have superficial knowledge is that we think that we know more than really we do know. And in such a case, it's a good thing to be confronted with our ignorance, which is what this question did. Somebody came to me and he said, astrologically speaking, why did I break my finger? That's a fair enough question. It's honest, and it seems very simple. And I thought, wow, this is going to be a piece of cake. It's going to have a simple and direct answer. And as it turned out, I was wrong. I thought first that since the hands and the arms are ruled by Gemini, that one would expect to find the planet afflicted in Gemini. Wrong. No way. Then I thought, well, since Mercury rules Gemini, I thought maybe finding Mercury afflicted either natally or by transit or progression or something like that would indicate a broken finger. wrong again. Then I thought, well, maybe parallels have something to do it. So I looked at natal parallels, and I looked at progressed parallels, and even at transiting parallels, and I couldn't find anything there either. And it came down to me at this point that I thought, either astrology doesn't work, or there is something about astrology that I really don't know. And it seemed much more likely that the latter was the case. And the way it turned out, when I looked at the horoscope, I always kept coming back to one thing. Because there was only one thing that was ripe on the day that the person broke the finger. And that was that there was an exact Jupiter aspect in Aquarius on the day of the break. And that didn't seem probable. It is true that very often Jupiter and Mars, which I believe were the planets involved, often do mean breaks. But how could this be in Aquarius? Because, it doesn't make any sense. Aquarius is a fixed sign. And we know from studying Max Heindel's astrology that things on a cross, since the fingers and arms and things like that are in general ruled by Gemini, anything in the common sign cross, like Sagittarius or Virgo or even Pisces, would cause a resonance that there could be broken fingers. But Aquarius, which is at a trine to Gemini, that doesn't make any sense at all. And I didn't know what to do. It was an embarrassing situation. And then there is that old statement that says, necessity is the mother of invention. And it does a pretty good job with memory, too. Because at this point, after pondering and pondering on it, I remembered that I had a book somewhere that had a picture of the phalanges with the signs of the zodiac on each of the phalanges. And after a while of searching, I found the book, and it turned out that the finger that was broken was the phalange that was broken was the Aquarius phalange. And suddenly things became very clear. And that was my introduction to astrological homunculi. On several other occasions, that diagram proved true, and it was always accurate. Now, the astrological rulership of the phalanges is part of something larger. In fact, at one time, every bone in the body had an astrological rulership. And doctors were given astrological skeletons. That was up until about the turn of the century, the turn of the 20th century. And I have looked on the internet now, trying to find astrological skeletons, and I've looked everywhere for references, and I can't find them. So if any of you ever encounters an old medical textbook, or an old astrological skeleton, what I'd like to do is I'd like to get one of those plastic skeletons, and I'd like to inscribe all of the signs of the zodiac on each of the bones and hang it in the bathroom so that when people are sitting there, they have something to think about and they can edify themselves as they go along. So if any of you ever comes across any of that information, please let me know. It's something I'm very interested in. And it would be very good for understanding why specific bones are broken and why things come out as they do. Now, this part of the story has a very sad ending because I eventually forgot which book the chart was in. And several times I have searched for that book with that chart, and I have not found it. And to go through an entire astrological library of several hundred books is too time prohibitive. I have other books that have Zus charts in, and this is one of those things in astrology that different people have different notions. And so they had different assignations to the different phalanges, and they don't work. This one did work. So I can't remember all of the diagram perfectly. It's either a matter of digging it up. I've searched on the internet, and on the internet there are several pictures of palms with the zodiac inscribed on the fingers, not on the thumb. And a lot of them don't work, and they contradict each other. There is one that is that I'm currently checking out from Robert Flood, the 17th century British alchemist, and it seems to be promising. It seems to be working out very well. In fact, somebody sitting in this room cut a phalange just recently, and it turned out that the Robert Flood diagram fit perfectly with the phalange. All right. Obviously, this leads to a whole way of thinking about things. What does one do when you don't have a medical diagnosis in hand? Because that's the real value of astrology, to be able to understand things before they happen and to be able to manifest the principles in a correct way so that they don't have to happen as an illness or an injury or something like that. So this is how I progressed in studying astrological homunculi. I asked myself, what would I have done if I were just given a horoscope and a date? The same horoscope of the man that broke the Aquarius phalange. And if I were given that date and that horoscope, would I have predicted a broken phalange? That's a hard question to answer. There are astrologers that have been given questions like that. The famous British astrologer Alan Leo was given a horoscope, and he was given a date. And he said, what happened to this person? They said to him, what happened to this person on this date? And he sat and he calculated for several days. And he said, on this date, the person entered into a nunnery. And he was right. And if you look at that horoscope, it's not at all obvious. So this is the kind of thing that can be done, but it takes a lot of knowledge and a lot of work. We want to have foreknowledge. It's not an unreasonable question, because we often hear people come to us and say, I don't feel well, something isn't right with me. And the doctors will put you through a bunch of tests, but even with all of their diagnostic measures, they don't know what's happening. So we want to determine a priori, before the fact, why that phalange was broken. Now, if you look at a horoscope and you see that there is a significant accentuation of planets in Earth signs, which deal with the minerals, especially Capricorn, which deals with the skeleton, it's more likely that the person is going to have broken bones or skeletal problems or, you know, arthritis or something of that nature. This doesn't mean that this is the only way that the earth signs in Capricorn can be interpreted, because they can mean a lot of other things. What we're dealing with is likelihoods. And what, see, it's sort of like, you scan over information and you go to the places that are most likely, and then you find something that strikes your intuition. And then you back check using the mind, by using reasoning. Capricorn also rules the skin. So if there's a lot of focus in Capricorn, could be the skin. Capricorn also rules a sometimes worrisome disposition. So because there is a strong focus in Capricorn and the earth signs, doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a skeletal problem. What we're doing at this point is we're trying to get an inroad into finding out what something means. And when we ask questions, like when we ask, could this mean a skeletal problem? When we ask that kind of a question, we're producing a vacuum. The question sort of is like a form that gets filled. And it gets filled with intuitive truth. And that's what we're trying to do when we're thinking about a horoscope. If our faith is stronger than our reasoning capacity, we draw sometimes Uranian intuitions that come out of the blue. And we just have to know to recognize them and grab onto them. And that's why the faith is so important. The faith is what brings that kind of intuition through, and it also causes us to grab for it. Because what often happens is an intuition will come to mind and we'll say, oh, it can't be that. Because we think we have certain assumptions about what human beings are, and it can't be that. And it turns out it is that if we had listened to the intuition in the first place. When we ask questions, that brings forth a Neptunian kind of intuition. And either of the two of them will bring out understandings. Now, if we look at progressions and transits, we might get more clues. The whole idea is to pile one thing on another, and in the overlaps to find the things that are most likely to occur. And that's what we do. We find out, for example, that if somebody has a lot of planets in Earth signs and there is an affliction involving Mars, Jupiter, or Uranus, all of which indicate breaks, the breaks might very well be in the skeleton. And then we are a step closer. And this is what we have to do when we're trying to learn how to work with astrological homunculi. We're trying to get first the big picture, and then we're trying to go to a smaller spiral and yet a smaller spiral. In all of these things, we're looking to find things that have the feel of truth. When we have had sufficient intuitions, something comes through to us. And when it comes through to us, then we can check it. Because we never know the truth of something in such a way that it's that we don't know that something else is true. The first edition of the Cosmo Conception and the second edition had on the title page a quote from St. Paul that says, try all things, or prove all things. And that's what we do. We even check our intuitions, because the source of the intuition doesn't mind being checked. If you are the truth, you don't mind being checked. All right. This is the beginning of our journey into astrological homunculi. These talks are all going to be less than an hour. We're finished for the day. We can see now what we're trying to get at, and what that's where we can see what the problem is, and we have a definition of what a homunculus is and how we can work with it. And now we'll start looking at some other features. And tonight in the evening talks, we're going to talk about healing per se. And we have a tradition that we close all of the talks using the Rosicrucian Student's Prayer. So we'll all say it together. O God, increase our love for Thee, so that we may serve Thee better from day to day. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Yes?
At the beginning you were talking about the scope, and you were talking yes. about smaller spirals and knowing when to get into a bigger spiral.
Yes.
But then actually in the talk you were talking about spiraling smaller and smaller.
Yes. Roughly, what I could have been specific and said when we looked at Earth signs, especially Capricorn, we were looking for a system. And that would be the skeletal system, the mechanical system of the body. And after that, we would look at the activation or misactivation of the system, which would be more something that would be associated with a planet. And like a Mars-Jupiter square, which would produce a break somewhere in the system. And then to get to the homuncular level of Aquarius, you have to work with intuition, or you just have to ponder things until you come to more understandings. I couldn't carry something all the way through in a talk like this because I'd have to be remembering something from 30 years ago. Yes?
On two occasions, I think I heard you say or talk about Capricorn and Earth signs.
Yes, because they deal with the minerals. Earth, the earthy part of the body, the bones are the most mineral part.
Capricorn is an Earth sign.
Yes, that's right, but I didn't want to make it be Capricorn exclusively. I wanted to include Taurus and Virgo, which also are Earth signs. Like, for example, Taurus has a specialization of the bony part of the body in the teeth. But the bones in particular, like the whole skeleton in general, is Capricorn.
That I understand. Oh, hold. Yeah.
Yeah. Hand,
yeah.
Not so, hand, not in.
Yeah.
Hand, not in?
Okay. Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
All right. That's, I didn't know if I heard right or not.
Yes. Right. The absorption of minerals, for example, taken in that are going to be deposited later on is a Virgo process, which is very different than the Capricorn process in the bones is more like a history of your past activity condensed.
But I understood you to say in instead of
yeah.
in.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have a recommended resource for? I know that you've gathered all of your information over many, many years, and probably from different resources. But a good resource for what, like you said, Capricorn, the skin. I knew the skeletal. I didn't know about the skin. Although it makes sense.
There is one excellent resource, but which is a little bit archaic now. It's called the Dictionary of Medical Astrology. It's a very thick book. It's by Howard Leslie Cornell. And it is in dictionary form, and it gives a lot of those things. It's a man that was a doctor that spent his entire life going all the way back into Arabic and Greek astrology and things like that. And he didn't sift and winnow. He put everything in that he picked up from all of these people. And he kept working at it and working at it, and his family claimed that he worked himself into insanity, and he died in a mental institution, and he left a beautiful book behind. Some of the more modern books on rulerships, like the Heindel's books, are good, but they don't go into the homunculi at all. Some of the modern books that have been written in the last 50 years or so What has happened is people want to be authoritative that aren't really authoritative. I think that unless a person is a full-blown clairvoyant or has some instruction from a mystery school, they're likely to be unreliable. And what happens in a lot of astrology is people want to make a name for themselves, and they want to make a name for themselves sometimes by being different from everybody else and having some oddball system of one kind or another. And they'll say, well, this endocrine gland can't be ruled by this planet, it has to be ruled by this planet, and they're a bit whimsical. And so I find some of them not very reliable at all.
That's why I asked the question. Yeah. I get stuck in that.
Well, you see, if you follow the Neptunian route, which is the way it has always been, there are people who dedicate themselves to helping other people. And they aren't necessarily erudite people. Some of them are shamans. And they have accumulated bodies of knowledge that they know from their own intuition or from their own clairvoyance that this herb is good for treating this kind of condition. And they didn't do it by trial and error. They did it by being able to see a correspondence, or to know that there was a correspondence between, you know, like Rosicrucian, as far as physical therapy is concerned, the Rosicrucian philosophy works primarily with herbs and works primarily with herbs and planets. Okay, yes?
Elsa Glover worked with, an MD, mm-hmm. and she found correlations, astrological correlations with illness, and was usually able to predict, she said, better than he could.
Yes.
Do you know how she did this, or any?
I think she did it with intuition.
Oh, okay.
I don't think she made any major studies. Uh-huh. I don't think she knew a lot about physiology. She was a caring person.
So she didn't use any of these methods, then, you don't think?
Not that I know of. It never came up in a conversation between us. Most of our conversations were of a much more abstract, philosophical nature, so we never got to things like this. Well, that's it for this morning.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Now I can sleep. I didn't sleep for but 2 hours last night.
Sorry,
no, I just couldn't sleep.